is the Yearbook Podcast. I'm your fill-in substitute host, Doug. He sounds just like the other guy. Lego Movie 2. By the way, I apologize for my voice sincerely. You'll see. Lego Movie 2. We're not going to ruin the beginning or the end. Just one of the many cameos. But if you want to go in without having even a single cameo unveiled for you, although we already ruined the fact that there's several cameos in the movie. This is not a big ruination because he's only on screen for a few seconds. Well, we just actually ruined that he's not on screen for very long and there's no callback for him at the end of the movie. And we just ruined that. Stop with the ruination. It's not going to matter anyway because we're the last people in the country who finally saw a Lego Movie 2, especially judging by how many people were in the theater. Seattle Supersonics legend Gary Payton, of all people, shows up in the second Lego movie. Judging by the uniform, we've only seen the movie once, so we might be misremembering, which is our favorite malaprop, if it's a malaprop. Judging by the uniform, if we can recall correctly, he looks like he is Gary Payton circa 1991 to 1994. The Lego Movie 2. Pro golfer Matt Kuchar. You already know what I'm going to say about this. Just in case you haven't heard, PGA Pro Kuchar wanted to play a tournament in Mexico last fall and needed a caddy. He hired a local club caddy, David Ortiz, and supposedly promised Ortiz $3,000 for the week, plus undetermined bonuses. Kuchar wound up winning the tournament, his first win in over 4 years. Then it came time to settle up, and a scene out of any number of lottery ticket movies ensued. Caddies generally get 10% of the take when their golfer wins, and like tipping at a restaurant, it's a non-binding, non-contract agreement. Kuchar won just under $1.3 million, meaning Ortiz was in line for around $129,000. Ortiz got $5,000. Forget 20% or even 15%. Kuchar left a tip of 0.4%. To fast forward here, Ortiz later contacted Kuchar's agent and lowballed himself, requesting $50,000, which he thought was fair. The agent reportedly came back with an additional $15,000, which Ortiz turned down, saying they could keep it. Word got out. Kuchar didn't apologize again, then finally broke and paid Ortiz $50,000. Forget all the details of this story. Forget the thing about golf's elitist reputation. Forget the races of both Kuchar and Ortiz. Forget where the tournament took place. Forget rich and poor. Forget how bad it looked. Forget everything except the most basic event. Kuchar's point was he and Ortiz had an agreement, and Kuchar did live up to that agreement. Golf journalist Michael Bamberger says that $3,000 paid out to a substitute local caddy, quoting, would widely be considered generous pay by tour standards, end quote. But Bamberger rightly adds, the problem is, quoting, the size of the bonus, end quote. The tournament's purse was more than $1 million, and the victory was actually closer to ending a five-year drought for Kuchar. Things changed. Suddenly, Team Kuchar isn't struggling anymore, and he's even richer. But Kuchar himself is the only guy who won that day. Had Kuchar given Ortiz his 10%, the pro still would have taken home more than $1 million. Now, before you join the camp that a deal's a deal, or pros have expenses too, they do have to pay private instructors, chefs, fitness experts, etc., Kuchar has made over $46 million in his career, not including his endorsements. He's 10th on the career earnings list. In other words, based on Kuchar's playing, he's one of the richest men in golf. Here was the rare chance for someone to do a good deed that didn't hurt much. What would $129,000 have meant to Ortiz? What would it have meant to anyone, even if you have a great job where you're at or close to, say, $200,000 a year? What would a $129,000 bonus have meant? Retirement? No college expenses? A paid-off house? More vacations? If you make $500,000 a year, an extra $129,000 would have been useful. What Kuchar gave instead was a quote about how $5,000 for a week's work is a lot of money for someone in Ortiz's position. That by itself sets a separate, dangerous precedent apart from being cheap on a supersonic level. A quote like that leads to valuable support staff getting substandard offers and being told, take it or leave it. Leave it? Okay, I'll just move on to the next guy. Bye. Kuchar had a golden opportunity to be a saint at a very low cost for him. He blew it. Then he turned down every sainthood opportunity that followed. Then he blew it again by not ultimately giving Ortiz the full $129,000. Ortiz shortchanged himself, yes, when he thought that $50,000, less than 5%, was fair. And Kuchar obliged by paying him less than 5%. I know. I didn't even know who Kuchar was until this controversy. But Ortiz still doesn't have all his money. And any future blowback over this, Kuchar has brought on himself. And right after DJ Steve Porter did such a great mashup on PGA Tour official Slugger White. By the way, unrelated, actress Jessica Chastain, who was in Molly's Game, which we mentioned in a previous podcast. Very coincidentally, this podcast is for flight attendants and nurses. Very coincidentally, Jessica Chastain just tweeted a few days ago, just discovered that flight attendants don't get paid during boarding or delays. How is this legal when they are clearly working? Anyone got info? Please enlighten. No one's enlightened her yet. We looked. We couldn't confirm. So we don't know if this is true or not. It may be untrue. We did find some stuff where former employees claimed that that is true. If that is true, that means that when they help you stow your luggage, when they get you a magazine to settle you down before the flight, when they help you with a crying child before the flight leaves the ground, all of that would be for free if that's true.